and there's intimacy on the radio, and there's naturalness on the radio that can never be replicated on TV. The marvelous resurgence of radio as a political force in this country.
News-related radio programming is evolving.
There's a huge hole in our dialogue that can be filled by the synthesis of traditional radio and the freedom that comes from a live podcast. You're about to experience Cowboy State Politics Live. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another incredible installment of Cowboy State Politics Live. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone, and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Thursday, now that we finally got on the air. Sorry for the little hiccup we had in the beginning. You know, it's live radio and you never know what's going to happen. But we made it, and it's Thursday, and it's going to be a beautiful day in the Cowboy State. Now, if you listen to the morning show, Joey and I covered the whole Department of Health funding drag queens pretty extensively. But there's been even more developments since we were on the air not even an hour ago. I've got screenshots that I'll post to the Cowboy State Politics website, and I've got John Bear coming on the program at 10:15 to talk about this whole thing. And in the meantime, about, well, I don't know, 5-10 minutes ago, the Cowpie posted an article about the Department of Health funding drag queens. Well, actually, it wasn't so much about that, but how ticked off the Freedom Caucus is about it. And you should be pretty angry about this whole funding of drag queens thing also, my friends. This is your tax dollars at work. This is exactly what all of the free spending in the Wyoming legislature results in. You get rogue bureaucrats deciding that we could fund drag queens. Now, of course, they're going to say that they didn't exactly fund drag queens. They just paid for the event and the lighting, which kind of means they paid for the event. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on with this whole drag queen event. And the truth is, they've been funding this drag queen bingo since about 2020. And grand total, they've, and according to the Cowpie article, they've given approximately $6,000 to the Wyoming AIDS, which is a an advocacy group tries to create AIDS awareness, as if anybody is unaware of what AIDS and HIV is. But grand total, according to the article, is over the years, and here it is, they've given a total of $6,430.05 to Wyoming AIDS assistance since February 3rd of 2020, in lump sums ranging from about $1,000 to a little over $2,000. Quoting from the article, "These grants were for similar support of this event in past years," says Deddy, who is a representative from the health department. Adding that to the Wyoming Department of Health, it's about preventing disease. The focus of our department each year has been in the disease prevention and testing efforts included during the event. Well, it's important to look at exactly what this event is and ask yourself if it really is about preventing AIDS. And if it is, and other communicable diseases, then I might be all for it. But it's not. As I mentioned during the morning show, you can go to the website, yoaids.org/bingo, and you'll find out all about this drag queen bingo event that's taking place on the, I believe it's the 27th of April. Now, just listen to this, and you tell me if this is all about preventing AIDS and creating awareness. From their website, and I quote, "This year's theme is Rhinestone Cowboy. So rustle up your herd, because the stilettos are ready to head out. Grab a posse of besties and put your spurs on, because it's time to gather around the fire and be fabulous. Join us at Queen Acres, a.k.a. the Grand Avenue Hilton Garden Inn Ballroom, for another night of bingo, music, and fun. Reminder, this show is rated R and really not for kids." So that should tell you right there that the drag queen story hour or what are now drag queen bingo, I get all these things confused. I mean, all of them are repulsive. And frankly, I think that they're a little bit degenerate. And I mean, literally, you have men prancing around in women's lingerie, creating sexual situations. And we've seen this before. Cowboy State Politics has covered this issue extensively in the past. About a year ago, we did a couple of undercover investigations. One about the University of Wyoming funding drag queens, training drag queens, too. And then the other one about a group called Drag for a Cause in Rock Springs. And, I mean, in that one, in Rock Springs, there, by my count, by the video that we took to investigate that whole thing, there was about a dozen children running around there. And we're not talking about teenagers. We're talking about little children. There was even what appeared to be a 10-year-old boy dressed up in drag participating in the event. So nobody can convince me that any of these events are actually only for adults. During the investigation into the University of Wyoming, one of the presenters actually said that their favorite part of dressing up in drag is the children, their energy, getting them involved. Now, if you're interested in listening to those investigations, go back into the Cowboy State Politics archives, and you'll find and I think they were like last May, late April, last May. The one about Rock Springs is called Drag Shows in Your Community. And the other one was Undercover Investigation, UW in Drag, I think. Something like that. But nobody's ever going to convince me that these shows, these productions, have anything to do with preventing communicative diseases, which is exactly what, the method they use to get government funding. And that's not even to say that's not even talking about whether or not the government should be funding this. It absolutely should not. This is your tax dollars at work, by the way. But if you scroll through the website, they clearly say that it's going to be a boozed up affair. And one of the, let's see here, official after party for the Wyoming AIDS Walk in 2002, but the year's drag queen bingo has grown into a social event of the season, now a standalone fundraiser. We've raised as much as at bingo as the walk itself, and with your help, we hope to raise more. Salty language, dirty jokes, booze aplenty. Parental discretion is strongly advised. I mean, you can scroll through this website, and a lot of it is pretty clear about what's going to happen at this event. And you funded it to the tune of $3,000. So absolutely purient behavior, absolutely sexual situations that, frankly, were created using your tax dollars. So anyway, the Wyoming Freedom Caucus discovered this whole thing, and really they just saw an ad on Facebook that said it was sponsored by the Wyoming Department of Health. Now, since that time, the website that I just finished talking to you about has been scrubbed. It no longer says that it's funded by the Wyoming Department of Health. In fact, when you scroll down to this whole section that says special thanks to our sponsors, it doesn't list any. But original advertisements, which again, after this program, will be published at cowboystatepolitics.com. Let me pull them up on my computer here so I can read to you exactly what they say. So the original website said, Special thanks to our partners, Wyoming A sponsors, not partners. I get them confused with the cow pie. Anyway, it says, special thanks to our sponsors, Wyoming AIDS Assistance, the Wyoming Department of Health, and www.knowwyoming.org and volunteers. Want to become a hero yourself and donate or volunteer? Contact us in the form below, yoaids.org. So that was the original advertisement that was put out, or what their website originally said. And their original advertisement also said that. So if you go to the Facebook page, originally, and again, all of this has been scrubbed now, but fortunately, I have sources at Cowboy State Politics that they far exceed anything that the cowpie or the Wyoming mainstream media could even muster. Well, anyway, so there's an advertisement. It's got a banner on it, and it says, Wyoming AIDS Assistance Prevents Laramie Drag Queen Bingo. And on the right-hand side of the graphic, all the way really, really small, it says, the Wyoming Department of Health. Now, if you look at the newest one, and let's see here. Yep. Here's another one. Wyoming Department of Health. Now, in 2023, if you go to their advertisement, and all of this is on their Facebook page, it says, the 2023 event, Wyoming AIDS Assistant presents Laramie Drag TV Land Bingo, or Drag Queen Bingo. And in the upper left-hand corner of this one, it says, the Wyoming Department of Health. So it's pretty clear that the Wyoming Department of Health has been funding this whole thing. And even though it's only $3,000, I mean, to me, $3,000 is a lot of money, my friends. You know, I'm sure it's a lot of money for you. And think about this, right? We've got citizens all across the state of Wyoming that are struggling to pay their property taxes. In Representative Mark Jennings has a neighbor, and I think this neighbor, his neighbor is 83 years old, and she had to take another job waiting tables just to pay her property taxes. And the state of Wyoming is spending $3,000 on a drag show. And I mean, that's the long and the short of it, my friends. I don't think it could get any more blatant than that. Absolutely shocking. So we've got, like I said, we've got John Bear in a couple moments. So let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be back and we'll talk about this whole thing with a good representative from Gillette. You are listening to Cowboy State Politics Live on the Independence Network. You're not going to find a selection of better news, entertainment, and commentary than right here on the Independence Network. With great voices like Joey Correnti from Just Blame Joey, Ken Pendergraft from The Ramble Rune, Tom Kelly from Wide Right Turn, and the lovely Christine from The Hair Affair. And of course, my program, Cowboy State Politics, Wyoming's most listened to political program. Also, don't forget to check out the articles section at the website, independencenetwork.us. It's loaded with op-eds, commentary, and news from all around the Cowboy State. You can listen to the Cowboy State Politics podcast anywhere that you get your podcasts. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest place is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. That way, if your name is Joe Biden, and you can't remember if you had your pudding today, well, I probably can't help you with that, but I can definitely tell you why you should have never ran for president. John Bear, you're on the air, my friend.
Thank you. How are you today, David?
I'm doing great. You know, it's a lot of fun to be able to call somebody and say, you're on the air, and mean it.
Yeah, I think that's a new one for me, and it's not my birthday.
Oh, well, you know. So how you been doing, John? Haven't talked to you for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Very well, staying extremely busy, you know, week or so ago, we were working on a special session trying to override the governor's vetoes on some very important bills. So things have kind of calmed down from that, but I've got a lot of other things going. So
I gather. So the reason I wanted to talk to you this morning is you guys discovered that we taxpayers, we lowly Wyoming taxpayers, are now funding drag queens. So how did you guys discover all of this?
Well, you know, we're constantly scouring the news and other pieces of information that are out there. And we have a lot of people who appreciate what we do, and they feed things to us as well. And, you know, actually this one came about because someone who's opposed to us attacked one of our members, and they happened to have this event on their page. So when we were reviewing what they've been up to lately after they attacked us, we found this and decided we'd ought to share it. But before we did, we thought we'd ought to talk to the Department of Health and give them an opportunity to explain why they thought this was a good use of taxpayers' dollars. And, you know, we didn't get a very good response, but what we did, we thought we'd share with the taxpayers and let them decide.
So essentially, the Wyoming Department of Health is funding this so-called AIDS awareness thing to the tune of $3,000. And, you know, we've seen events like this all across the state of Wyoming, you know, where it's dressed up as a benefit or some sort of outreach. But when you look at the website, and for this organization, when you look at the website, it's very clear what they're up to, that it's equivalent to, I don't know, hosting a hot dog eating contest and then and providing spoons for it and saying you're providing obesity awareness. I mean, that's as ridiculous as this is.
You know, I see the common sense that you're pointing to, and I use the word debauchery. You know,
absolutely.
If you're gonna try and help people that are dealing with a very horrendous disease, and you're gonna try to, you know, create awareness or try to bring an end to the spread of that disease, I think, you know, having an event that celebrates how that disease spreads more rapidly is probably the wrong direction to go.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we've all seen events where the Department of Health sets up a booth and, you know, for whatever cause, you know, we saw it a lot during COVID, and there's been, you know, Patriot chats where sometimes you'll see, at least here in Sheridan County, you know, you'll see the public health set up a booth sometimes. They have in Sheridan, they have this thing called Third Thursdays, where it's just kind of a whole bunch of people set up booths, and you'll see the Department of Health there, you know, creating awareness. But in my opinion, this is something that's entirely different, because looking at the award letter, which, by the way, for my listeners, directly after this program, it'll be published at cowboystatepolitics.com, so you can go read all this stuff for yourself. But the award letter specifically says it's for rental of the room and for lighting. So, John, I mean, we're literally paying for this drag show.
That's what it looks like to me.
So
that's definitely what it looks like to me. And, you know, I'm sure there are some taxpayers that don't see a problem with this. I do believe there's a vast majority, at least in my district, that are going to find issue with this, and they deserve to know about it. You know, we've been attacked for presenting this information, but heck, you know, why shouldn't people know that this is what their taxpayers are their taxpaying dollars are being spent on? You know, the largest department in the state of Wyoming government, other than education, is the Department of Health. We've had a lot of focus on that because the governor has said that mental health is something that we need to focus on, and I don't disagree with his statement that we should focus on that. But if this is how we're going to spend those dollars, I just have to question, is that really driving us toward a healthier society? And I think that the taxpayers and the voters deserve to know that it's happening and make the decision themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that it's complete debauchery. And I mean, the website itself says it's going to be a booze-a-thon. So, I mean, there's no question about what this thing is. Now, one thing I didn't keep track of during the legislative session was how much money went to the Department of Health. But it seemed like every other budget amendment was the Department of Health needs $10 million for this and $2 million for that. I mean, we're talking about an extraordinary amount of money, taxpayer money, that goes to the Department of Health. Do you have any idea of how much money we funneled to that one department?
Let me put it in this perspective, because I always like to think of things for the family at the kitchen table. You know, how would this look for them? And here's the thing, everybody sitting at that table up until this year was contributing $200 to the Department of Health and specifically to mental health care. So that changed to about $300 per person. Now, obviously, you know, we get tax dollars from other things like coal, oil, and gas, but the taxpayers also pay, and the taxpayers also pay higher prices when the costs of coal, oil, and gas go up. So they're all paying for this $300 that we're spending now on mental health at the Department of Health. $300 for every man, woman, and child in the state of Wyoming, $300 a year. So hopefully that gives you a little perspective.
Yeah, it's just, it's an incredible amount of money. And then, I mean, then there's the question of, you know, what really is the proper role of government? Because I didn't, you know, in all of my study of all this stuff, I've never once considered that funding drag shows was a proper role of government. But we've seen overreach, I mean, all across the board with, and it's not just the Department of Health. I mean, it's across the entirety of Wyoming government. And one of the causes of that is you have such a big bloated budget. You got so much money flowing around that you have no idea where it's going. I mean, so while I have you on the phone, could you just, for my listeners, describe, you know, how bloated our budget is this year? I mean, we went from what the governor wanted, you know, a little over $10 billion to what I've heard is $11.5 billion. But could you just give my listeners an idea of really like exactly the magnitude of the money that we're spending? I mean, I know it's kind of an obtuse question, but you would have a better idea, maybe a better way to characterize it than I would.
Sure. Our biennial budget, meaning covering the next 2 years, is $11.1 billion, and there's $500 million or $450 million in other bills that we passed that were not part of the budget. And so over the next 2 years, we're going to spend $11.5 billion. Now, what I like to compare that to is what's called the standard budget. The standard budget is what the financial offices of the government determine it would take to operate our government as it is today for the next 2 years. That budget was $8.8 billion. And so we're going to spend 11.5 is what you suggested, and you're right on based on all the bills together. And so that's about a 30% increase in government above and beyond what we would need to operate as we are today. So that is growing government, in my opinion. 11.5 billion versus 8.8 billion.
That's just
and,
an insane.
A lot of that happened. Yeah, all that happened during this last session. And here's the funny thing, you know, one of the most important things that on people's minds right now in Wyoming is this rapid increase in property taxes. And I know I'm getting far afield of a drag show, but if the people are hurting because their taxes are increasing in double digits each year, we've just about doubled the property tax bill on most Wyomingites in the last 4 years. And so, you know, when we were fighting to try to give some of that money back to the taxpayers in relief and reform, we were told repeatedly that the state of Wyoming cannot afford this. So back to your question about the scope of the budget, we're always trying to maintain our savings account so that we have a cushion should the price of oil, gas, and coal go down, which we depend heavily upon. And so we have about 6 years worth of savings, $30 billion, you know, $11 billion goes into that almost six times. And so we've got 6 years where we could go without any money at all going into the government. And we could, if we had to, access that money and spend it to keep operating right where we're at. Okay, 6 years worth of savings. And we've got to maintain that. You know, the Biden administration keeps printing money. And so the things that you can buy with your money keeps becoming less and less. So we've got to inflation proof that savings account. So we always flow a certain amount of our revenue into the savings account. This year, we put $700 million into savings, just for perspective. And we were trying to get $200 million to the people of Wyoming to give them some taxpayer relief. And the governor vetoed that bill, SF-54, saying that that $200 million, the state of Wyoming could not afford, even though they had already put $700 million into savings. So I think that those are the kind of pieces of information that the taxpayers need to hear. They need to know that we really do have a tax and spend legislature and executive. And when it comes to the spending side, back to the subject you called upon, and that is, is it appropriate to spend money on funding drag queen shows? And I would disagree with that choice. And I think a lot of my constituents would disagree. And so we're putting it out there and asking them that question today.
Well, and I think you make an excellent point. On Tuesday, I went to a Republican women luncheon here in Sheridan. And Representative Mark Jennings told a story about his 83-year-old neighbor, how she had to go back to work and get a job waiting tables just to pay her property taxes. And $3,000, I would say that's probably, I don't know. I mean, that was pretty close to what my family paid in property taxes. So if we have Wyoming citizens that have to go back to work just so they can stay in their home and pay their property taxes, I don't think we need to be throwing $3,000 at a bunch of men dancing around in women's lingerie. And secondly, and if you listen to my program, I think this is pretty clear. I think it's prurient behavior. I just don't think it's appropriate for us to be spending tax dollars on that sort of activity. I mean, there's on this program, I've done a number of stories, drag queen story hours and drag shows with little children running around, and one big one at the university. And I mean, all of this seems to be done on the sly, and it's not until somebody like myself or the Freedom Caucus finds out about it that anybody even knows. Had you guys not put that out, I doubt anybody in the state of Wyoming would have known that the Department of Health was funding that. Unless, of course, you – and this is the last thing I want to ask you about. Unless, of course, you were, you know, ahead of the game and saw their first advertisement that clearly said the Department of Health is sponsoring this thing. Well, it doesn't say that anymore. It's the Department of Health is scrubbed from all of those websites. So to me, and I want to hear your thoughts on it, John. To me, it looks like they're absolutely trying to hide what they were doing.
Well, it was interesting when we called the Department of Health and asked them about this and whether they thought it was really an appropriate use of funds, and did they know? That was the first question. Did the department head know that this was going on? And he was somewhat aware of it, but when we mentioned that the Department of Health was listed as a sponsor, his response was, well, that's unfortunate. And so the next thing we know, the Department of Health has been removed, but we do know from contacting the Department of Health and the director that $3,000 was awarded to this event. So we do know that that happened, and we feel confident that it's perfectly legitimate for the people of Wyoming to know that that's what's going on.
Absolutely. It's legitimate. Well, John, I appreciate you taking the time to visit with me. You know, you're welcome back on the program anytime you like. So thanks again, man.
Yeah. And thanks for what you do. Keep up the good work.
Thanks,
sir. Have a
great day. Yep. You have a great day. Bye-bye. All right. Thanks to John Bear for visiting with us on the program. You know, I have to tell you, it's a lot of fun to be able to call people and say, you're on the air. And sometimes I do it just to freak out my friends. And you'd be surprised at how many people are like, am I really on the air? But yeah, it's a ton of fun. So John Bear is exactly hitting the nail on the head. that first, Wyoming citizens absolutely need to know that this is how their money is being spent. You know, when they're writing the check to the county treasurer for thousands of dollars for their property taxes, they need to know that that check could be going to a bunch of drag queens down in Laramie to get boozed up and give away sex toys as prizes. Absolutely unconscionable. It's completely wrong. And there's no other way that you can look at it, at least in my opinion. Well, we're going to take another break. And then when we come back, we're going to get to some national news. There's a couple of things that are really important going on. And I've got just the articles to tell you about them. So we'll do that after the break. It's spring in the Cowboy State, or as Albert Sommers likes to say, spring-ish. Time to get the motorcycle out of the garage, time to go up the mountain, time to get outside and tromp around. And when you're doing that, you still want to make sure that you take care of your feet. The best way that you can do that is order a pair of Kanai boot socks from the Buffalo Wool Company. I know, your mama always told you that wool socks are only to be worn during the winter. But times have changed, my friends. The Kanai boot socks from the Buffalo Wool Company will not only keep your feet nice and toasty warm, they'll keep them cool and dry in the summer. Trust me, these are the most incredible socks that you're ever going to put on your feet. To get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. Wyoming is one of the most sought-after places to live. There's a lot of people that want to move to our great state. And if you're thinking about selling your house to one of them, you need a real estate agent that you can trust. That agent is Rebecca Bechstel at Compass Real Estate. She's lived in Jackson for almost 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market. Last year, she sold almost $25 million worth of property. So if you're thinking of buying or selling, give Rebecca a call. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. Welcome back to the program. David Iverson, Cowboy State Politics Live on the Independence Network. Doing what I was born to do with talent given to me by God Himself. Welcome back to the program, my friends. So if you're just joining us, I just spoke with Representative John Bear about the whole drag queen thing. And if you want to listen to, if you missed it and you want to listen to exactly what he said, I'm going to publish this episode on the Cowboy State Politics podcast directly after we finish the live program. So you'll be able to go back and listen to it again. But on to some national news. Whether you know it or not, the question of whether or not we should fund the FISA surveillance program is again up in Congress. Now, if you don't know what that is, you really should educate yourself. So the FISA Section 702 is the one that allows the government to snoop on you, to data mine your phone calls. And really, they don't have to listen to the actual content of the phone calls using metadata. And all metadata is the time, the place, who you called, the length of the call. You can determine exactly what's going on just by collecting the metadata on phone calls. And Section 702 allows the federal government to do that. Well, Republicans, as is always the case with those with the red coats in Congress, they're split on whether or not we should, I don't know, follow the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment, or maybe we should just let the government snoop on everybody. And I quote, this is a great article. Section 702, the controversial Foreign Surveillance Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act authority used to justify snooping on Americans' digital communications without a warrant, is set to sunset on April 19th if lawmakers don't act. Many in Congress, including Republicans and Democrats, want Section 702 reauthorization that includes reforms to shield innocent Americans from warrantless surveillance and to hold federal agents accountable for misuse. But as a compromise reauthorization measure comes before Congress this week, House Republicans are split on what sort of reform is really needed, and the side of dismissive of civil liberties seems to be winning out. And you'll never guess who is on the side of this so-called compromise. That would be Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. And I quote, "The House appears ready to reauthorize FISA 702, which has been abused literally hundreds of thousands of times to spy on Americans without a warrant, without requiring the government to get a warrant," complained Mike Lee on Twitter this week. A proposal put forth by Lee and Illinois Republican Dick Durbin would substantially limit warrantless access to communications obtained under Section 702. But House Speaker Mike Johnson, quote, "has declined to bring that bill to the floor, opting instead to have members vote on a compromise measure, one that would compromise the rights of Americans if passed without amendments. In other words, it's short on reform and long on warrantless searches." Johnson's measure, H.R. 7888, the Reforming Intelligence and Securing America Act, they always put these fancy names to them that make them sound so much better than they actually are. I mean, in some cases, these Republicans are no better than Democrats. Page 2. Of the 56 reforms, and reforms is in quotation marks, contained in the Reform Authorization Act, nearly a quarter, quote, "either codify existing practice and procedures under which abuses are continuing to occur or actively weaken existing protections," according to a document put out by the Brennan Center for Justice, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, and FreedomWorks. One provision of the bill could permanently reauthorize Section 702. As it stands right now, it has to be reauthorized every 4 years. So anyway, it looks like that Representative Johnson is going to bring this stupid thing to the floor, and they're going to reauthorize it. So what you need to do is contact Representative Hageman, and or if you're listening from somewhere else other than the great state of Wyoming, contact your representative and make them vote against this thing. I mean, burn up their phone lines, because if you don't, this thing is going to get authorized and whatever privacy you had before is going to vanish before your very eyes. So that one's super, super important. And another question, and okay, so these next two are all about Biden. And the first one is why Biden destroyed the strategic petroleum reserve. And this one comes from National Review. And normally I would never quote anything that comes from National Review. They're a bunch of anti-Trumpers. But, you know, like any news outlet, occasionally the blind squirrel finds a nut every now and again. Call it a random act of Republicanism. But because certainly National Review, they've turned into, you know, pretty much an anti-Trump, neo-conservative redcoat outfit, I mean, is the best way that I can describe them. I don't even pay that much attention. But, you know, this article, actually pretty interesting. So last Wednesday, President Biden's Department of Energy canceled a pair of oil purchases to refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which, by the way, he's the one that drained it in trying to lower gas prices, which that never works. It's just a media ploy is all that is. But the Department of Energy originally planned to buy oil at $79 a barrel, but oil prices have stubbornly refused to cooperate and remained above $86 a barrel, leading the DOE to cancel the purchase. When former President Donald Trump attempted to fill the SPR, which, by the way, he was roundly denounced for, when oil prices were rock bottom at $24 a barrel, congressional Democrats blocked the purchase, claiming it would be an oil industry bailout. $24 a barrel versus $79 a barrel. When former President Trump attempted to fill this, the Democrats stopped him. Now, taxpayers have been left on the hook for the price increases since then, had the Biden administration proceeded with the purchase. But simply refusing to replenish the oil supply is a risky decision, given now there's almost no oil reserve left. Let me repeat that. Almost no oil reserve left. America's oil reserve has declined by 44% since Biden took office, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. The SPR is at its – the Strategic Petroleum Reserve – is at its lowest level since its initial filling in August of 1983. The reserve can hold 714 million barrels, and it's currently about half full and thus could supply America's needs for a paltry 17 days. But the question is, why has he decided to destroy it? Well, that's a question that a lot of us have been scratching our head and asking about, but it's all for his domestic agenda. For example, the number of U.S. oil drilling rigs has still yet to recover to pre-pandemic levels. Rig counts are down 22% compared to with March of 2020. Last time I looked, and it's been a while, there was only a couple of rigs operating in Wyoming. Biden has greatly shrunk the U.S. market for energy, America's capacity to quickly ramp up energy production in the event of a global conflict is severely limited. That's a major problem given what's happening in the Middle East. The situation in Israel presents particular risk to American energy reserves. The U.S. has a legal obligation to sell a portion of those reserves to Israel if the latter is unable to purchase energy in international markets. Although Israel has never exercised this legal right, given the current political and military situation in the Middle East, discounting the possibility would be extremely foolish. So in other words, Biden is preventing the refilling of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to prevent Israel from buying oil. That's what it's about, my friends. And, you know, if you halfway believe what Biden says about Israel, you're off your rocker. His administration is full of a bunch of people who are just radicals and who demonstrably don't even care that the state of Israel exists. So, you know, I mean, it's nothing more complicated than the increasing lies coming from the Biden administration. And it's not Biden himself. That guy doesn't know what day it is. Let me give you another example. This happened yesterday. I mean, we've gotten so many Biden sound bites to add to the gaffe reel that I'm having a hard time keeping up with them. But here's what he said yesterday. Listen to this.
Elect me. I'm in the 21st century.
Ah, so he doesn't even know what century he's in, much less that he's the president of the United States. And that guy is leading our country, my friends. And just in case you've forgotten, there's this one.
The beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this final. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why he's talking.
Oh, funny times, isn't it? Well, not so much when we have important things happening around the country, like Americans facing the possibility of their every phone call being tracked and not having any oil to fund our country for any more than 17 days. That seems to be a wee bit of a problem. So let's go ahead and take another break, and then we're going to come back with another wacko Democrat that thinks that we should, you know, we should have some more reparations and that black people just shouldn't pay taxes. So we'll do that next. You can listen to Cowboy State Politics live every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on the Independence Network. You're not going to find a better source of news, entertainment, and commentary than on Cowboy State Politics Live. You know, the program you're listening to right now. And frankly, why would you want to look anywhere else anyway? Let's be honest, only a liberal redcoat commie would do that. And if you want to listen to my podcast, you can find it at cowboystatepolitics.com or anywhere that you get your podcasts. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you can't remember if you put socks on this morning or not, well, I can't really help you with that, but I can definitely tell you why you should have never ran for president of the United States. And now, back to the program. Welcome back to the program, my friends. Cowboy State Politics on the Independence Network. burning up the interwebs radio waves. I don't even know if there's radio waves on the interwebs, but there ought to be. And if there are, we're burning them up. From the Blaze, Democrat suggests black people shouldn't have to pay taxes for a bit, but adds that the tax exemption still may not redress slavery. A Democrat serving her second term in the United States House of Representatives recently stated that temporarily exempting black people from paying taxes is, quote, not necessarily a bad idea. However, while parsing through the idea, she determined that such an exemption from taxes still likely won't redress the centuries-old horrors of slavery or current wealth disparities between black people and other racial groups, since many black people, quote, aren't really paying taxes in the first place, end quote. On a recent episode of the Black Lawyers podcast that was released on Tuesday, Representative Jasmine Crockett, who represents an area around Dallas, told host Jay Carter that she first got the tax-related form of slavery reparations from a celebrity whose name escaped her. Quote, "One of the things they propose is black folk not having to pay taxes for a certain amount of time because, then again, that puts money back in your pocket," Crockett said. Crockett claimed that though she wanted to think through it a lot, she did not think the idea was necessarily bad. It may not be as objectionable to some people as actually giving out dollars. Now, I've got some audio of this, and one of the reasons why I chose this particular article is to brag about the Cowboy State Politics and the Independence Network. As you're going to hear in this little piece of sound, it's not exactly the greatest quality. Nope, not at all. And you got to watch the video to see this, but they don't even have mounted microphones. They're handing a handheld microphone back and forth, and you can hear the resulting terrible audio that comes through. But that's why I picked this article. Now, any studio that is associated with the Independence Network is vastly superior to whatever was on that podcast, and frankly, is way better than most studios. In fact, there's a couple of ours, actually all three of them, are capable of doing anything that your radio studio, that your local radio station can do. About the only thing we can't do is have all the wire services, but if we wanted to do that, we could. So the audio is very much superior, and I picked this one just because I wanted to brag about it. So take a listen to this, how we ought to have reparations, and pay particular attention to the whole tax thing. Here you go.
You know, what are your thoughts generally on reparations? Because, again, I would like to see if it's going to happen, that it's kind of consistently rolled out across the board. I don't know how hard that would be because I know each state likes to do. I know you're a congressman, you know. Each state likes to do whatever they want to do, but I would like to see it as much as possible consistently rolled out. What are your thoughts?
I don't know about consistency. I mean, I think that's why you see someone like Sheila Jackson Lee, who has been a champion of reparations on the federal level, because there does need to be some continuity across the board. Otherwise, everybody going to run to whichever state and be like, yo, I need mine, right? Exactly, right? And so, you know, we don't want to see that. This is something that definitely needs to be thought through. But when you have people that aren't even willing to do the studies, aren't willing to invest to make sure that we can roll this out the right way. And I think that's where we have to start, just like anything else. We have to do the research. We have to figure out what would this look like in cost if we did it this way, or what about us doing it this way? You know, I think just this past week I saw, I don't remember which celebrity, but it was actually a celebrity, and I was like, I don't know that that's not necessarily a bad idea, but I'd have to think through it a lot. One of the things that they propose is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then again, that puts money back in your pocket. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars. Yeah. But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue that reparations make sense, because so many black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, right? But the fact is, like, we end up being so far behind, right? And so it's like, how do you bring forth people? Exactly. And so it's like, if you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and aren't really paying taxes in the first place, It doesn't really exactly.
They may want those checks like they got during COVID.
Exactly. So, you know, but I think that
Okay, I can't handle any more of that bull crap. So, two things here. First, all the pops and cracks and blips and everything, that's the original audio. That's what those folks published as a podcast. I didn't do that. That's exactly how it was published. Amazing that they let that thing out of the door. You would never hear something like that come out of Cowboy State Politics or the Independence Network, unless, of course, the original recording was that. As you can tell, now we still have, admittedly, we still have some of our little blips and oopses every once in a while. The beginning of this show today, you know, couldn't get the stream to go quite right. But when the audio kicks in, you can hear it loud and clear. And there's no pops and cracks and crackle pops and, you know, the Rice Krispie noises that you heard in there. But secondly, the idea of reparations is absolutely a stupid one. There is nobody alive today that was, you know, a part of American slavery. There is nobody alive today that had to work for no money under some sort of master. This reparations thing is yet another handout to people who, frankly, do not deserve it. Everybody in this country has an equal opportunity to succeed. Now, the problem where these reparations things comes in is you have folks who did not take advantage of the opportunity, the equal opportunity to succeed in this amazing country, and instead want a handout. Third, if the institution of slavery was as horrible as everybody thinks it was, and it was, are you not devaluing the importance of it by giving people money to cover those wrongs? Absolutely. So this Crockett lady is off her rocker, and you know, and the people of Texas need to get rid of her post haste. Just absolutely ridiculous, my friends. But not nearly as ridiculous as Jamie Raskin. So Jamie Raskin, of course, you remember him. He was on Liz Cheney's sham committee about January 6th. He was trying to defend illegal immigration. Now, see, there's a bill up before the Judiciary Committee. I think it's the Judiciary. House Oversight, excuse me. To add the question of, are you a United States citizen to the next census? Now, if you'll remember correctly, President Trump wanted to do that, and he was roundly shot down for that. But there's some amazing audio in which he said the founding fathers were illegal immigrants. Let's see, where did I get this? Oh, it's from Newsweek. Yet another magazine that I would not quote on a daily basis. But, you know, again, even Newsweek gets a random act of journalism every once in a while. And I quote, Democratic Representative Jamie Raskin said during a House markup session Wednesday that the founding fathers were the only illegals at the time the Constitution was written. Raskin, his party's ranking member on House Oversight, made the remarks as lawmakers discussed House Resolution 7109, also known as the Equal Representation Act, which, if enacted, would include a citizenship question starting with the 2030 census and every decennial census afterwards. Respondents, via questionnaire, would have to check a box as to whether they are United States citizens, United States nationals but not citizens, or aliens lawfully or unlawfully residing in the country. In February, House Republicans impeached Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas by a 214-213 vote, for which they deemed high crimes and misdemeanors associated with the annually rising numbers of illegal immigrants. Quote, our colleagues, I'm afraid to say, are evincing no familiarity with any of the relevant materials in this field, Raskin said. The Supreme Court has been very clear about this, and the founders were very clear. There are lots of people who are not voters who get counted in the census. One of our colleagues said that the founders never anticipated that, and you would have huge numbers of people who couldn't vote who were being counted. Of course they did. The vast majority of Americans couldn't vote when the country started. Louisiana Representative Clay Higgins, a Republican, countered and corrected Raskin by saying that a committee member never said that the founders never anticipated this volume of illegals. And absolutely they did, my friends. That's why there was such a big discussion during the Constitutional Convention about representation. That's why the Three-Fifths Compromise exists in the Constitution, that and slavery. During the Constitutional Convention, there was a gigantic discussion of representation, how you're going to figure that out, how people are going to count it, and who is entitled to vote. And originally, you had to be a property owner to vote. After the Constitution, that was different. But there were lots of restrictions. And to say that the founders never envisioned that people who are illegally in the country would try to vote, I think is fantasy. But anyway, here's that audio from Jamie Raskin, and just listen to it. It's absolutely amazing.
One of our colleagues said that the founders never anticipated that you would have huge numbers of people who couldn't vote who are being counted. Of course they did. The vast majority of Americans couldn't vote when the country started.
That's not what enslaved, my colleague said.
But then I stand corrected. What did he say?
He said the founders never anticipated this volume of illegals.
Okay, well, I will take on.
He didn't say that they don't twist my colleague's words.
Fair enough. That you're very valiant to rise to his defense. I will answer that misnomer on his part. Then, if what he said they never anticipated that number of illegal people, there was no immigration law when the Constitution was adopted at all. In fact, the only illegals in the country, at least according to the native population, were the people writing the Constitution.
There was no federal law at all.
Exactly.
The member knows this.
All right. So the only illegals present were those people writing the Constitution. Jamie Raskin is a political Democratic hack. He is in the tank for all things Democrat, and there's no shaking him. So anything that comes out of his mouth is, frankly, going to bash the country. That's what he did on January 6th. That's what he did in the House Oversight Committee, and he's absolutely wrong on our founding fathers. Well, we've burned up another busy broadcast hour today. Lots happening. Interview with John Bear. If you want to hear it again, it'll be published on the Cowboy State Politics podcast post-haste. And go to the website if you want to see all those documents from the drag queens. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.